Welcome back to Faith in Friction, where we are confronting the challenging conversations that cause friction in the church.
And I do that.
Man, this conversation has been causing a lot of friction amongst believers. And if you've been keeping up the past couple weeks, there's been so much talk about red heifers, about temples. What do we need? What we don't need? Yeah. Why we should be worried about something? Why shouldn't we be? Does God allow this? Does God allow that? And it's interesting that so many people are becoming eschatology commentators in things. And
we've
been seeing them and we're getting all of the comments and all the messages and we're seeing them. And we just want to take a moment to address some of those things. If you remember, we had an episode a few episodes back titled Rapture Timing Through Biblical Prophecy.
Yeah.
And we talked about what we are to expect in the end times. And a lot of responses to that was nobody knows the day or the hour. Right. Nobody knows what to expect. Why are we even worried about this? And PJ, you had some really great points in that specific episode, but can you remind us of some of those things?
Yeah. I mean, they say no one knows. And a lot of times they'll say, we shouldn't even care. We should just live for the day. I mean, I've seen a lot of comments. I stopped reading comments, by the way. They just tell me when the good ones are there. But, you know, and it's the opposite of the truth. Like, we're not supposed to care or know. I mean, Paul repeatedly talks about to be sober-minded.
Yeah.
No, looking forward the return of the Lord. Like, it should be the primary thing on our mind. Mm-hmm. Because when you know time is short, your perspective changes. It changes your priorities. I mean, if you knew you had one day left to live, your priorities for this day would be very different than an average day. And I think the church needs to have that same mindset, whether it be a year from now or 100 years from now, we live like it's tomorrow. But Matthew 24:36 is what you're alluding to. It's the one we hear a lot, you know, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And if you really read that slowly, it will tell you something. It says that day and hour, no one knows. And I think we skip over that, like, we're not supposed to know the time. Well, we don't know the exact time. Jesus says only the Father does. But we are to know the season of his return.
Yeah.
And the Bible actually says even stronger. It says you should know the season of his return. Yeah. You're not in darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 6 really answers this. And it says, concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For you yourselves perfectly know that the day of the Lord, so he's speaking of the return, comes as a thief in the night. Verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, now brethren means believers, body of Christ, Christians, you are not in darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5:4, I want to make sure you know I'm reading the Bible, didn't make it up, that this day should overtake you as a thief.
Yeah.
So it will come as a thief in the night to the world.
Yeah.
But to us, he said, it will not overtake you as a thief because you're of the light. It says, verse 5, you're sons of light, sons of the day. We're not in night or in darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So when we're talking about all this, it's because the church is commanded to be sober-minded and watching for the return of Christ. And as you said earlier, the main domino, the first domino, if you will, that starts this whole end time process that we've been hearing on YouTube everywhere, even CBS News is talking about it nationwide, is the red heifer.
Yeah.
Because the red heifer is the prerequisite for the temple. Annalie, tell us a little history of the previous temple so we can kind of catch up to where we are.
Yeah. So God desires specifically for the Jewish people to have a physical location for them, for him to dwell with them. And this all started after they left Egypt and God said, build me this tabernacle. And this was a moving house of God. Wherever they moved, that's where they would build it. And that was the first one. We call it the tabernacle. And then they had the first temple, Solomon's temple. So David was given the specifications for this. His son Solomon built the temple. Then we have the second temple that was built when they came out of the Babylonian system. And now, with the red heifer information that we've talked about, I feel like a lot.
A lot.
And it's coming to light for you guys. The process is getting ready for the third temple. And this is, I love what you said, we're watchers. Like, all of us, why does this matter to us? Is because we will be the generation that gets to see our Messiah and this is exciting. This shouldn't cause fear in any of us. Mm-hmm. And so this third temple is the next temple that will be built. And the first domino for that is the sacrifice of this red heifer.
Now, as a believer, because some of you, I can feel it already. Some of you heard that and are just like said the phrase again, but Jesus was the last sacrifice. Yeah. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes. Yeah. We believe. And PJ, I know I'm springing this on you, but can you just take a second and speak to that? Jesus being the last sacrifice for believers, and maybe touch on Messianic Jews, Jewish beliefs, Orthodox Jewish beliefs, the differentiating things between that and why, like Annalise said, we should be excited for this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's important for us to realize that the Jews of today, not the Messianic Jews, the believers, but they are still operating under the old covenant. Yeah. Like, we know Christ fulfilled the law, but they're not operating that way. So they're still doing what God told them to do to the best of their ability. And that's why they're looking for this temple, because, I mean, you just read the Old Testament and you see exactly the red heifer, and then it cleansed the priesthood, and then you have the breastplate of the priest and all of the things God told them to do. So we can't fault them right now, and you'll see in a second, because the Bible says they're blinded until the time of the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. So there's a blinder on the nation as a whole. That doesn't mean some can't be saved. There's always a remnant first, first fruits. But so they're just trying to do what they know. But Acts 17:24, as believers, we know, you know, Paul said, God who made the world and everything in it, he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Okay, believers, talking to you. We're just trying to get this out of the way so we can get in some meat here. We know that. Like, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, like, all this is great. But we're under a new covenant operating that way from that perspective. But prophecy revolves around Israel. I mean, if you look at all biblical prophecy, it's like God's watch. If you want to know what's happening in the last days, you got to look at Israel. Yeah. You know, we're not looking at, Houston, Texas, or anywhere else. That's all great. We're all important. But it's the center of the world in Jerusalem. And so we are now looking, just because there's a biblical prophecy does not mean it's always God's perfect will for that to happen. I mean, there's all kind of, you know, there's Revelation talks about prophetically that people will take the mark in the last days of the beast and separate themselves from God. Well, that's prophecy in the Bible. That doesn't mean God's perfect will is for people to take the mark and be separated from him.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about the temple in a second from a different perspective. But just so you know, because somebody's saying, why are you involved in all this stuff? You know, we shouldn't even, you know, that's evil. The Antichrist is going to show up in the temple. Well, when God says something's going to happen, you can't stop it. Yeah. And really, the quicker all this happens, the sooner we can be with Christ in the air for an eternity. So I would just address these two things, and then I'm gonna hand this off.
Time out. Jesus is the only way to the Father. In case you didn't catch
that. Don't comment that. We know.
In case you didn't catch that.
And we're going to have a whole episode on
that. He was the last sacrifice.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, PJ. Go ahead.
So, I mean, I don't know if y'all
scared
seen this.
Me.
I know. We're still going to get the comment.
But I thought he was like cutting the video.
No,
we got this comment every single day. Jesus was the final sacrifice. We get it. Go ahead,
person.
PJ. Sorry.
So, I mean, it's, you know, I think I have read the comments when I did read them that a lot of people would say, well, we're the temple now. Like I said, there won't be a physical third temple. And there's a big argument there. Will there actually be? Does the Bible say there'll be a physical temple in Jerusalem when Christ returns? And the answer is yes. And also in the New Testament, it says multiple times, Jesus himself alludes and says that there's going to be a temple when he returns. So we can't override that. If
Definitely.
God said it, it's coming. So Matthew 24, verse 3, says, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, speaking to Jesus, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming? Now, the word coming in Greek is parousia, which is all throughout the New Testament is talking about the second coming of Christ, okay? So they're saying, when are you coming back? And he said in verse 15, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. You can't have a holy place and an abomination in the holy place without a temple. I mean, you've got the Holy of Holies, you got the holy place, you have the outer courts. So the holy place, the temple has to exist for this even to be fulfilled, what Jesus said. And then he goes on to say, you know, let them who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And he talks about what they should do in the last days. Luke says it like this. It says, they ask him saying, teacher, when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these are about to happen? In verse 20, he says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that the desolation is near. So same reference here. In Matthew, he said the abomination of desolation. Jesus says there's going to be armies around Jerusalem and there's a desolation near. Daniel gives us more clues. Look how God's word just fits so perfectly together. I mean, centuries before Jesus said this, Daniel in Daniel 11:31 says, and armies or forces shall be mustered by him, speaking of the Antichrist, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress, and they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there an abomination of desolation. You can't have sacrifices to fulfill these prophecies without a temple. Can't have a holy place without a temple. And so we know that all of the final things with the Antichrist and claiming to be God, he's going to stand in the temple of God and claim to be God. So there's scriptural proof, and there's a lot more if we had time, to show you that there is a temple coming, and it's what God said will happen. And yes, I know, we are the temple. Amen to that. I agree.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it starts with the red heifer, and definitely the talk right now of the time is the red heifer. So should we do a little recap on that?
Yeah.
A lot of news.
Yeah. So y'all were there 2021, right? This is cool because I have not said this. It's a cool story on 2021. This was like the height of COVID. And one of the things that disqualifies these red heifers is when they're born, they're tagged. Like their ear is tagged automatically. And because of COVID, the employee that does this tagging when they were born was not there. So kind of because of COVID, the qualification for these red heifers took place. Isn't that cool?
Wild.
That is wild.
I never heard that.
Yeah.
That is wild.
It was cool just being there, being present. It was cool. And we'll be kind of releasing some of this stuff here soon and some of this footage that we got that day and some of these interviews. And there's one interview of a ranch hand, young kid. I think he was only like 19 or 20 at the time.
Yeah.
And he was tasked with taking care of these red heifers at this ranch in Texas until they were able to figure out how to take them to Israel. It was a longer process than they anticipated. And hearing him kind of just talk and be like, yeah, I mean, this is crazy. I just thought I was going to work the same another day. And all of a sudden they're like, the fate of the world, And so, it's we've been seeing the videos, seeing the things. Well, I
mean, just last week, they had a conference of the red heifer for a bunch of rabbis to go and see them for the first time and inspect them.
Yeah.
And they announced, I don't know if this was public knowledge until I saw this, but in Shiloh, or we would say Shiloh, or however you say it, depends on what state you're from, in Israel is where they have them. And they brought all of these rabbis and people together to see this situation. And it just goes to show that if they're having a conference now and showing this to all these rabbis, they're going through with it. I mean, they have a plan to do this. And we know sooner or later it has to happen. I mean, if the Lord tarries, the Lord tarries and doesn't happen. But at some point before Jesus returns, there's going to be a red heifer in a temple. Yeah. And that's where we see ourselves. Annalee, I had a question for you. Talk about, because some people will say, well, the third temple is evil because it's the Antichrist's temple.
Yeah, that's
and you were talking about some scriptures that say otherwise.
Yeah, that is the main belief in a lot of Christianity is why would you support the red heifer sacrifices? Because that's going to bring about the Antichrist temple. Mm-hmm. And they get that from the scripture that you had mentioned where he's going to sit in the temple. What was that scripture? I don't remember.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Yeah. And because of that, they're like, oh yeah, that means that it's the Antichrist temple. But the Old Testament and the New Testament talk about this being God's temple. So Ezekiel tells us in Ezekiel 43:7, son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet where I will dwell in the midst of Israel forever. So Ezekiel is told that he's given specifications for this temple. And even says that there's going to be a separation wall between the profane thing and the holy thing. And it says, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet where I will dwell in the midst of Israel. Saying, this is not, it didn't say this is the Antichrist temple, you know, this is the temple of God. And in the New Testament, Revelation 11, 1 through 2 says, angel stood saying, measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship there. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy cities shall tread upon it 42 months. So it's talking about this same temple, because we know that there's going to be a separation between the profane thing and the holy. And it's saying measure the temple of God. This isn't saying measure the temple of the Antichrist. So we know from scripture that although the Antichrist will sit in this temple, this is the temple of God.
So another part of scripture, again, going along with the argument, is this God's temple, is this the Antichrist temple? In 2 Thessalonians, I'll read 1 through 4, starting with 1. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Verse 3, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Mm-hmm. So scripture right there says it's the temple of God that the Antichrist steps in and proclaims that he's God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just let me just clarify this point too. Because some of you theologians out there will say, well, what about Revelations 21:22 that says when the new Jerusalem comes, the Bible says there will be no temple. God and the Lamb are the temple. And this third temple is not the final temple of God. The as far as I can tell, the only scriptural purpose for this temple is God is going to bring the nation of Israel back to himself and reveal Jesus to them in this temple. Now, to me, if the Antichrist is Antichrist, then he is going to try to deceive the people before the Christ is revealed to them.
Yeah.
And so why would he not try to beat Jesus to it, if you will, and stand in the temple of God and say, look, I'm Jesus, I'm here. Yeah. He knows what Daniel said, you know? And then they all go, oh, wow, our Messiah is back. It's a false Christ that he's doing that. But the Bible tells us clearly in Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 1 through 7, I'll let you read that later, that Jesus is going to reveal himself to the nation of Israel at that time in this third temple. And so the purpose of it is just for the nation of Israel to see Jesus for who he really is. And then we know that that temple will be destroyed at one point, and then the new Jerusalem, there is no need for it. Yeah. So we're not glorifying this physical temple like it's some sort of idol or we're so, you know, worshiping it, but it's a tool, you know, just to reach the Jewish people. And it's interesting because these two scriptures, some of you say, I didn't know the nation of Israel is going to be saved and see Jesus. Well, there's a very clear scripture in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. It says, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look at me, on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one who mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as he grieves for a firstborn son. So Zechariah tells us right there that the nation of Israel is going to see Jesus in that temple. Jesus is going to reveal himself, and they're going to mourn going, we didn't realize, and they're going to have a revelation. Even New Testament, I'm going to hit you with that because you're like, wait a second. Romans 11, Paul says the same thing. In verse 25, he says, I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So a lot of them don't have a choice. They have been blinded until the fullness of
it's
the
like
Gentiles.
A pause of their salvation until we all come
in. The church fulfills its purpose. Yeah. Verse 26 says, this is Paul speaking, New Testament, and all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion. Now, that word come out of means to arrive at or be present.
That's awesome.
So it doesn't just mean the deliverer will be from Zion, like it's a city, or I mean, like it's I'm from this town. It means the deliverer, Christ, will arrive and be present in Zion, and all Israel will be saved.
That's cool.
New Testament. And it says, he'll turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So this third temple, God's purpose is to reveal Christ to the nation of Israel. That's why. Why are we supporting? That's why.
Yeah.
Because the Antichrist is going to try to pervert the temple and deceive. But once he's done in the tribulation and all that, we're going to know who he is. When Jesus comes on the white horse, we're going to say, there is the Christ, the real Christ, and all of Israel will see him in the temple.
No, that's good.
Just going on. Okay, so we talk about discerning the times that we're in, right? And the scripture, 2 Corinthians 11:3-4, it says, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. And I just think of all of these times. And again, like all of the arguments in our captions of like just kind of Christians kind of coming for each other. And it's like, if we don't discern the time we're in, like even believers are going to be deceived. Yeah. Right.
Yep.
And so that's just like a concern of mine of just discerning the time that we're in so that to know Jesus is coming, but also there's going to be an Antichrist who's going to deceive Christians too.
And he's going to pick the timing because he's trying to beat Jesus to the punch, if you will, and deceive the people before they see the real Christ. So it all fits perfectly.
Yeah. And to your point, PJ, it's not about a lot of the comments and questions that we get is like one of y'all mentioned, like, man, why are y'all trying to help usher in the Antichrist? Like the Antichrist is one small piece to this. Well, not necessarily small, but it's a piece to the totality of things and to what the word is written, that it is written is going to bring in, like you said, when Jesus comes in and is brought forth. It's like, we're not focused. The focus is wrong.
Yeah.
Like we're not focused on, you're focusing on the evil or the bad part of all of this. You know, I'm reminded of the Israelites, you know, being led out of captivity and people, we don't ever hear anybody talk about the 10 plagues extensively. You know, it's the thought of is the promised land and the promise. And so it's like in a similar way, it'd be like, man, if in this and talking about a third temple, talking about end times things and being like, oh, I'm just going to focus on those 10 plagues and say, this is horrible. This is really bad. And nobody is disagreeing that there is negative aspects to this, that bad things happen that, you know, we're not like wishing for or hoping for, but in a sense are a part of steps that happen prophetically to then get us to the point that we all as believers should be excited about and should be looking forward to and should be when you hear messages or one day the new heaven and the new earth and new Jerusalem and all of these things to think, like you said, like how crazy is it that the Lord would trust us during this time period to be the body of Christ during this time,
walking
to
triumphantly.
To essentially be kept during chaos and usher in a new heaven and a new earth.
And if we're here and the Antichrist, to your point, is trying to deceive the masses and we are aware and sober-minded that we're in the last days, then guess what the church can do? That's not Jesus. Yeah. That's the Antichrist.
Definitely.
Look in Scripture. Yeah. The Bible already said he would stand and stop the sacrifices. So that is the purpose of the church. Going back to our rapture episode, you're like, we won't be here. You got to watch that episode. But that's the purpose, to bring light.
And to that point also, it's like, again, we read, you know, Matthew 24 in verse 36 that people quote a lot. And we've been talking about end times type things. I remember being in a youth group and PJ was actually my youth pastor. And I remember being in high school and PJ's doing like an end time series. Yeah. And I'm a 17-year-old and I walk in and like the stage design's different and there's like lightning strobe lights in the
bring
thing.
That back.
And it was like an end time series. And I'm like, why in the world are we talking
and
about
they say,
the
never
end
teach that to kids
of the world?
And I'm like,
and I remember being so intrigued by it.
There you go.
And initially it instilled fear in me because I didn't know the Lord in the way that I should have. I didn't know the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so it was fearful because I wasn't sure what's to come. And I feel like we read, in that verse about us not being taken aback, it not overcoming us like a thief in the night. I think that if you have to ask yourself, if I hear these things and there's fear that overtakes me, am I potentially in a position where if something were to happen, it would overcome me like a thief in the night? Mm-hmm. I'd be shocked. I'd be surprised. It says clear as day that we are not to be surprised by this. It's something that we should know the season. And so we're passionate about having conversations like this for that reason. Yeah. You know, as things start unfolding, God, in his grace and in his mercy, gave us things that we can look for that point to the times that we'd be able to interpret what's actually happening and what's going on so that we wouldn't be deceived. I can't imagine going through all of these things, hearing about all this red heifer talk and having no idea in scripture where any of this stuff is. And we know a lot of y'all that have followed us, or maybe y'all are new listeners, or maybe you've been there from the beginning of the journey, that some of this stuff is so new. It's been in the Bible in your home this whole time. You know, maybe you just hadn't been able to interpret it, not sure where the connections were, not sure how scripture interpreted scripture in different places, Old Testament and New Testament alike. And so we get the opportunity to navigate these things with you all. And our prayer and our hope is that as things happen around the world, as chaos ensues, as you're hearing talks and rumors of war, and, you know, we just heard a week ago or so that there's ships, the Navy reported ships coming into the Red Sea, and there's all these things happening. All of this is not a surprise to God, and he doesn't want it to be a surprise to us. Yes. And so, we love being able to talk about these things and just discuss and go through the word of God, go through the it is written, and just interpret these times.
You know, I haven't been doing a whole lot of research on it. They're going to say, how could you on Faith and Friction? But the whole like solar eclipse and everything, is that the 8th?
Yeah, that. So this comes out Monday. This will be today.
Okay.
So there's so much on this.
Today.
You're talking about being aware of the times, the signs. Luke 21:25, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars on earth. Nations will be in anguish, perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the seas. Talks about people faint from fear. But verse 28, this is Jesus speaking. So the temple, the red heifer, the signs in the sun, all this is going to happen. And he says, when these things begin to take place, stand up. Lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
Yes.
Once again, we should know the time of the hour. Jesus said, this is the sign. Redemption is here. Look up and be aware of the time you're living in.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, deception can come on you.
And don't try to stop it. So like we've seen a couple of videos of like they're trying to petition and get a million signatures to stop this red heifer sacrifice. But it's clear in scripture that this is going to take place. And it's really cool. I was looking in scripture in Ezra when they were building the second temple, there was massive opposition. So I'll read this to you. Ezra 4:4, the peoples around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building this temple.
Wow.
This goes back to this. It's so crazy. They even sent a letter to the king to stop them, kind of like this petition. So that they said, we're not going to pay our taxes if you allow them to build this temple. So this opposition took place then. They still built that temple. Opposition is happening now. That temple is still going to be built. So just the fact that God has kind of planned this out already, and for us to just be a part and to watch it and to bring our family members, the Jewish people, I mean, they're part of our family. So to go against the plan of salvation for them is kind of not Christian in a way, right? Because we want everyone to be saved. It says all Israel will be saved. Mm-hmm. And it's not for us to decide who is the real Israel. I know some questions are like, oh, those people are not the real Israel, the true Israel. Let's let God decide the real Israel and encourage the salvation of our family members.
You know, that makes me think, though, I've also seen the question of, well, if we're on this timeline and everything's, you know, the clock is ticking, if you will, how are they going to build this big temple? They're thinking of the pictures they've seen of Solomon's temple or even the second temple, where it's like, man, I mean, building all these stone blocks. You know, there's also a tabernacle that Moses had. Yeah. And so I've heard even now that they have prefabricated already a temple ready. So this can be set up in a matter of, I would say days, if not weeks at the most. Yeah. So this is not some, you know, big building project that takes 4 or 5 years. This is something prefabricated they can set up quickly. So, I mean, there's not a lot to delay what God said is going to happen once they have the opportunity or the freedom politically and every other way to actually put the temple on Temple Mount.
Yeah. And it's cool to think, because again, we're seeing comments and commentaries, and some of y'all are asking, just genuinely asking, because you don't know. You know, some of y'all are maliciously asking, and I'm not responding to y'all. I'm kidding. But to think that the question, again, like I mentioned earlier, of the focus to where people are saying, like, well, man, why are y'all focused on this? You know, we just need to make it about the gospel. We need to make it about this. Guys, if you hear this information and you're hearing what's happening, it should make you more excited to share the gospel than ever. And that's what it's happening for us. Obviously, this is faith in friction. And so we confront these challenging conversations that cause friction in the church. But guys, we're so excited, more so now than ever, about the Great Commission and about adding people to the kingdom of God and to the church and to this body. And there are so many amazing things and so many acts of revival that are happening around the world, and some that we're a part of and we're getting to see, from young people all the way to older people. Like the church, the numbers are being added to the church like crazy, and we love that, and we're passionate about the Great Commission. And these things that are happening right now are making us more passionate about that. Definitely. Like, we're more excited to spread the gospel and good news of Jesus Christ than ever. Yep. What better time? You know, and so we're talking about these things to help everyone kind of navigate these times and seasons through scripture. But you should hear it and not be fearful of Antichrist and end of the world things. Like, if you're a believer, then this should get you excited
say,
man, I want to. One thing PJ used to say, again, when I was a teenager, would be like, man, the only thing we could take with us when we leave this earth is souls. And when I die, I want to be soul rich. And, you know, it was one of those things where I was like, yeah, like, I want to be soul rich. Like, I want to get excited about
that.
Who I want to be soul rich. That'd soul be great. Rich,
yes.
But we want to get excited about salvation for those during this time, because it is going to get chaotic. It is going to get dark.
But see, where sin abounds, grace super abounds. Yeah. So you have a lot of darkness. We all agree. That means light is going to be brighter and more visible than ever before. The line has been drawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is our chance. This is the day of salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I feel like this caution in my spirit. I feel like I've said this multiple episodes before, even last season. We have got to get into the Word of God.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because
for ourselves.
Yeah, for you, me. I mean, there are so many times that I'm on social media and I get so overwhelmed from all the different narratives. And I'm like, well, what should I believe? And I come to teach him, like, can you bring this to the Word? Because I'm getting really overwhelmed. And so if you are putting more voices from the world in your head, you're not going to be as rooted if you're going to the Word. And get in community, right? Like, I can't just read the Word myself and just know everything. I have the Holy Spirit to give me wisdom, but I'm submitted to PJ's teaching. My husband helps me. We are in small groups to be fed the Word. And so that's community is so important in this season, but you have to be feeding your heart and your soul with the Word of God.
Definitely.
That's how we're going to stay rooted. It's how we're going to receive the peace and the joy and the revelation of the Lord. So I just,
that's
we have
so,
to feed ourselves.
This is encouraging when they have comments on hey, y'all encourage me to get into the Word. Like, that's the whole purpose of this. So if nothing else today, we pray you go look up these scriptures for yourself and just ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you and put aside any man-made religious theology and say, God, help me understand this. Holy Spirit, discern for me.
So, we're probably going to do another episode just about this. On Patreon right now, we have the timeline, Daniel's timeline. And I want to just give you the overall headings of what's the Bible says is going to happen in the last days, like the big picture. But the Daniel timeline on Patreon is great because we even show from scripture that Daniel's prophesied exactly when Jesus would come to the earth and when he would die on the cross, centuries before it happened. The Bible is not just very accurate. It is completely accurate. Everything God says is for a reason. But the timeline, just the overall thing, we're talking about the red heifer. That's the beginning, if you will, to allow them to build this temple. And you can read Daniel 9 through 12, really. Just dig into that, you know, or even 7 through 12. But there's going to be some sort of treaty or covenant, peace accord, a lot of people call it, that will be signed by the Antichrist that will allow the temple to be set up and the sacrifices to resume. And there's going to be, I mean, just think of if a leader, a political figure that can, or just a figure in the world that can bring the Palestinians and the Israelis together to agree on this. People are going to start looking to this person of they are unique. That's part of the deception. So you have that peace accord. Then you have the temple set up or built. Sacrifices resume. And this, of course, the red heifer was at the beginning. And then you have 3.5 years. And that first 3.5 years, they're having the sacrifices. There's false peace. And then the Antichrist stands up halfway through this 7 years and 3.5 years and says, wait, stop, guys. You don't realize you don't have to sacrifice anymore. He's the false Christ. Stands in the temple of God, claims to be God, 2 Thessalonians. So now he says, I am the Messiah, stop the sacrifices, and he stops them. And many people at that moment when the Antichrist is revealed will fall into deception. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, even if possible, the elect will be deceived. And we know through Scripture that there are so many things that are falling into place during this time, the tribulation time, even the overall 7 years. I mean, you have the mark of the beast. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people say, is that some sort of cryptocurrency? Is that, how does that mark look? AI, we have a whole, you know, episode on that. AI, I believe, is going to be involved in this whole thing to keep track of everybody. So the dominoes with the red heifer just starts the entire process, and it will happen exactly as God said it would happen. So look up, Jesus said, when these things start happening, your redemption is drawing near.
So thank you guys for watching this. Feel free to share this with your friends and family. We also have a Patreon where we're like diving into some really good stuff.
Our Patreon fam.
Interviewing some amazing people. So definitely
sign, for y'all,
sign up for that. Thanks for watching, guys. We'll see y'all next time.